You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's good, everybody? Welcome into a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. Locked On Vols, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, 5 days a week, wherever you get your podcast. I'm your host, Eric Kane, @_Kaner on Twitter, @LockedOnVols, radio personality in Knoxville, a writer and staffer for the BallQuest.com website, Tennessee rival site, again covering the Volunteers football and recruiting. Got a really fun show coming up here today. In segments one and two, we had plenty of questions in via the DMs, via the Twitter sphere. Just questions for Twitter Tuesday. So thank you guys so much for participating. One of the best turnouts here in the last couple of weeks. And guys, as we move through football season, I wanna you know, make every single segment of a Tuesday show just me answering your questions. So anytime you have a question, anytime throughout the week, send it to me @_Kaner, @LockedOnVols. We will answer it here on a Twitter Tuesday. That's in segments one and two. In segment number three, had a chance to catch up with the voice of the Vols, Bob Kessling. Got his thoughts on preseason camp and the Vols in 2021. That's coming up in segment three. So that's the show rundown here for today. And this episode is brought to you in part by Fantasy Live. Have fantasy football questions you need answered before your draft? Don't miss Locked On Fantasy Live on Wednesday, August the 18th at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, streaming on the Locked On NFL YouTube page. You can subscribe now so you don't miss it. Our stable of fantasy experts will answer your questions live or submit them ahead of time at Locked On Network on Twitter. So let's get into it. Without further ado, this is Locked On Vols for a Twitter Tuesday. So we'll go ahead and start with Twitter, some tweets that I got. This is from Robert Boswell, @RobertBoswell1 on Twitter. With Texas and Oklahoma joining, time to re-rank top SEC towns. I've not been to all of them, but the ones I've seen, Athens and Oxford are in the class of their own. Gainesville and Starkville are at the bottom. Have heard Austin is great. All right, so I really like this question, and there's nothing like traveling around to these different towns. I've been to not all of them like you, but I've been to, you know, at least probably three-fourths of this list. Here's how I would do the ranking. Obviously, hashtag list season, everybody's got their own opinion, but Nashville, you know, it's you know, prior to Austin coming into the conference, it was the biggest market in the conference, which is pretty incredible. So Nashville's number one for me. Knoxville's number two. You can do everything you possibly could imagine in Knoxville. I love Knoxville. I've got Austin is my number three team, or my number three market. Fourth is Athens. There is nothing like the nightlife in Athens after a Georgia game. It is absolutely incredible. Fifth is Baton Rouge. Sixth is Oxford. Seventh is College Station. Eighth is Auburn. Nine would be Norman. 10 is Tuscaloosa. 11 is Fayetteville. 12th is Gainesville. You got the Columbias coming in at 13 and 14 at Missouri first, South Carolina second. Lexington is 15th, and good old Stark Vegas rounds out the top 16 here in the SEC. I like that question, but Nashville, you can do whatever you want. Knoxville's home to me. Austin's incredible. Athens, the nightlife. Baton Rouge, I mean, that's a pretty solid top seven, really, going down to Oxford and College Station. That's how I would rank them. What say you guys? Holler at me, tweet me if you want to get in your rankings. Good question there, Robert. All right, so we'll go to Cam Manning. Cam Manning wants to know about alternate uniform schemes, if, you know, which one I would like, or it could be an old one. Or one that they haven't done yet. What do I like in terms of the alternate schemes? Well, you know, for me, I like the smoky grays. I mean, I really did. And a lot of people didn't like them. A lot of people thought they were overhyped. I thought they looked really, really good. I also would like to see black jerseys come back, but I thought the black jerseys they wore back in 09 with Kiffin or whatever during that Halloween game against South Carolina, I thought those were horrendous. So if black jerseys come back, of course, it's going to be Nike sponsored. It'll look much better. I'm not a big uniform guy. Again, I kind of like the grays. I played in, we called them Mossy Creek grays at Carson Newman. And, I mean, they were really, really cool. Don't get me wrong. But I've never been the biggest uniform guy. But I always liked the gray. I think gray's got a nice little niche here in our color scheme. So I like that. But, Cam, good question there. We'll move on to Blake Cross. He's at BlakeCross42. And his question revolves around Romel Keaton. I'm a huge fan of Locked On Vols podcast. Well, Blake, I appreciate that, my man. It's perfect for my daily commute. I was wondering if you knew anything about Romel Keaton. I was hoping he would have the same type of camp as Cedric Tillman, but haven't heard anything on him. Thanks, as always, go Vols. Blake, you know, Romel Keaton, and I think I've said this here before, Gosh, he's a guy that I forget about sometimes. Remember, he opted out at the end of last year. He is not in the same realm as the Jimmys, Holidays, and Callaways. He's not in the same realm as, obviously, Bayless Jones and Jalen Hyatt. Anderson Kobe got a lot of hype coming in this year. Walker Merrill got a lot of hype coming in this year as well. And then you have Cedric Tillman and Ramel Keaton. I kind of link those two together a lot of times because they're, you know, they're veterans. Ramel Keaton is a junior now, and Cedric Tillman's a redshirt junior. They're both veterans who have been here, done that a little while. But I got to tell you, when I've been out there, I mean, Ramel Keaton looks fine. He's a longer wide receiver, a little bit taller, not like Cedric Tillman. He's certainly not as big as Cedric Tillman, but he's a little bit longer, kind of comparable to a little shorter Javonte Payton, if I had to make a comparison. He's there. He's a veteran. I think he's had a decent camp. Would I say he's kind of headlining that position? And you know, in terms of names you hear about, like, you know, Hyatt and Jones and all those other guys and Tillman, no. But I think he's had a solid camp overall. I think he'll play snaps, and there's a lot of wide receivers that will play in this offense, no doubt. So I hope that kind of answers your question. He's been there. I think he's looked solid. I think he's been fine, but haven't heard a whole lot about him. That being Ramel Keaton. We got Shane Smith. He's at Crush Hive on Twitter. And Shane wants to know, which true freshman will be the first one to become a permanent starter? All right, Shane. This one's kind of difficult because we know that the class of 2021 was absolutely gutted. You had, you know, guys sign on and get out of their national letter of intent once the coaching staff changed over. You had some guys kicked off like Caden Salter. He had a couple of defensive linemen. Katron Evans decides to leave as well. So a lot of talent from this 2021 signing class will not be figured here, as will guys like Jeremiah Crawford and Byron Young and Anderson Kobe. They are a part of this 2021 class, but they are not true freshmen. So really you're looking at a group of Walker Merrill, Julian Nixon, Miles Campbell, Trinity Bell, Jalen Wright, William Griffin Parker, Amari McNeil, Aaron Willis, Deshaun Rucker, Kamen Marley, and Christian Charles. So I think right off the bat, Charles will have a role on this team. I think Rucker will play on special teams. I think Willis will be contending for snaps. I think Griffin Parker better get ready to roll because the depth at offensive tackle is just not there. I think Jalen Wright will carve out a niche in this backfield. Trinity Bell is still rehabbing, coming back from injury. I think Miles Campbell will play an awful lot. Trinity Bell is probably right behind Miles Campbell at tight end right now. Julian Nixon is behind Miles Campbell at tight end right now. Walker, as far as third and fourth string, that is. Walker Merrill, think he's fine. Think he's had a good camp. We heard from him in the media a couple days ago. I just think that he's behind the pack a little bit. If I would say permanent starter, I guess I would lean towards... The running back backfield is really young, and so Jalen Wright will play, but he won't be a permanent starter this year, or maybe even next year, in my opinion. What about Miles Campbell at tight end? You got Princeton Fant and Jacob Warren ahead of you, two guys who Miles Campbell's probably more gifted athletically, if that makes sense, but two veterans that have been there, done that, and will play ahead of him, but Miles Campbell's going to play an awful lot. So I would probably say Miles Campbell. Now, before all the... subtractions, you know, Dylan Brooks would be my answer, head over heels, top 40 outside linebacker, you know, stand-up DN that signed on to this class, and I think he ended up at Auburn, maybe. I don't really know where he ended up, but Katron Evans, defensive tackle, would have been another good one as well. But I will go with Miles Campbell, and again, I don't expect that to happen this year, but that will be my answer. Let me do one more here. Let me get one more before we hit the reset. This is from Hole in the Roof, at Hitter 94. Midway through fall camp, who is your camp surprise? Someone you're hearing more about or is looking better than you expected? Conversely, who is someone you maybe expected more out of but are not hearing or seeing much of from this point? Great question, man. And again, I will say it is Cedric Tillman. Okay, he's been kind of one of the stories in camp. And in terms of Josh Heupel, Alex Golish, Cody Burns, Jalen Hyatt, all these guys can't stop mentioning the name Cedric Tillman and how he's progressed and how he's kind of carving out not only a niche on this team, but a guy that's going to be contending for a lot of snaps at wide receiver. If he was a step faster, ooh boy, he would be dangerous. But nonetheless, Cedric Tillman is a guy that I would say for that. On the flip side, what about Bryson Eason? Okay, he had a really good spring. Tennessee needs pass rushers. Tennessee's got Tyler Barron, Byron Young, of course. Roman Harrison had a good scrimmage, number one. You know, who's after that? Morvin Joseph, he's playing a little inside. He can play outside as well. Bryson Easton's a guy that, I mean, really put on a lot of solid weight, had a good spring. Bryson Easton's been there. Bryson Easton's a name that I haven't heard from anybody this camp, so that would be my answer to that. All right, segment one of the books. Great questions, guys. We'll come back. We have four more to get to in segment number two, but before we do that, I want to check in with some of our awesome sponsors for the Locked On Podcast Network, and specifically Locked On Vols, and get going with Rock Auto. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30 to 50 to even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership when you can do that yourself? You have money, you have a phone, you have internet access, and you can go to rockauto.com and check out the family-owned business, serving auto parts to customers online for over 20 years. They serve it to the professionals and the do-it-yourselfers. The best thing about Rock Auto is the prices are always so reliably low for every single customer. They have literally everything you can possibly want. They got new carpets, motor oils, tail lamps, brake parts. I encourage you to go on their website, check out all the parts that your car might need right now. It's such an easy to navigate through website. They have something literally for everyone. So you can discover how rockauto.com can help, and you can share, you know, with your friends as well and spread the word, because it truly is a mission, a family mission they've been doing over 20 years at rockauto.com. So how to do it? Well, right now, go to rockauto.com, see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and when you're there, write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit my friends at rockauto.com. And on a note right there, some people we love doing business with here at Locked On Podcast Network, that is Stat Hero, okay? You can go to stathero.com/lockedon and sign up for free right now, and you can get 3x back on your first play. They're giving you 300% match. That's unheard of. All you have to do is go to stathero.com/lockedon, stathero.com/lockedon. And what is Stat Hero? Well, listen, if you're tired of getting killed by daily fantasy sports experts, you don't need to play the experts. You need to play the house with Stat Hero. You don't just watch sports. You follow and you know every player of every play and every player. You can get the daily fantasy sports book that rewards passion and winning. That is Stat Hero, okay? It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you the lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name the stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that, okay? No one does that. So right now, again, go to Locked On, go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free right now. Again, 3x back on your first play. That is 300% match. Unheard of at stathero.com/lockedon. One more time. That is stathero.com/lockedon. Segment number two of a Twitter Tuesday, answering your question, reading off your comments here on Locked On Vols segments one and two. We got Bob Kessling, voice of the Vols, coming up in segment number three here on a Tuesday show. Welcome back, guys. I'm Eric Kane. Thanks for being here, and thanks so much for all of your Twitter Tuesday questions. Let's head on over back to the inbox. Brian Anderson, hashtag Twitter Tuesday. Not a question, but a comment. Okay, we take those as well. Hard to root for Milton and Hooker to win the job. Can't get excited about a guy who was benched at Va Tech or at Michigan, and what does that say about the about Bailey's five-star status? A running quarterback usually means you don't have a good quarterback. Huge arm often means not accurate. VFL, GBO. Brian, some good observations, man. I can't argue with a lot of what you said. You know, we can go back and check quarterback after quarterback, stats after stats, and refute each other until we're blue in the face. But I guess in defense, I would say this. Milton was dealing with a critical thumb injury last year. Now, is that the reason he's inaccurate? I don't know. Is that the reason why he lost his job? I don't know. Point being, he started off hot and he tailed off. You're right. He tailed off. And is there something more than that injury? He's not really spoken about his injury much. He's kind of put it behind him. We tried to ask him about him at media day. He gave a little bit, but didn't really dive into much of it. But you're right. He got benched. Hendon Hooker, for one reason or another, got benched. These guys have had starting jobs at the Power 5 level. What makes you think they can come into the SEC and hold down a starting job? I get it. It warrants some criticism and some worrisome there from fans. So I understand that. As far as Bailey's five-star status, I mean, I cover recruiting guys. I don't ever make the rankings. Gosh, that is well above my pay grade. But as we know, recruiting rankings don't often mean everything, okay? You've got you know, three. There are so many more three stars, by the way. So if you see the percentages, like every time there's a Super Bowl being played, it's like, oh, here, yeah, 27 three stars or below that played in the Super Bowl. I get it. It's cool to recognize, but there are so many more three stars and two stars than there are four stars and five stars, if that makes sense. So my point is, there are misevaluations in recruiting all the time, both at the high school level, coming to college, at the pro level, through the NFL draft. I think Bailey has improved in a number of areas. He's not having a bad camp, okay? I have him third in the pecking order. He's not having a bad camp. And that's why I'm saying, as a fan, in my opinion, you should feel much confident about where the quarterback position is right now compared to years past. Because you had JG, and you knew what you had, JG. You saw a little bit of good and a whole lot of bad, and then you had a bunch of unknowns behind him. Well, we've seen tape of Joe Milton. We've seen tape of Hendon Hooker. We saw three games of Harrison Bailey last year, and I'm telling you, they all look good from while we are in attendance. Now, they close the door on scrimmages. There's going to be a scrimmage today on Tuesday. There was a scrimmage on Thursday. People said the quarterbacks were fine. No one separated themselves. They didn't make many mistakes. But again, how can you operate the offense? That whoever can do that at the most efficient rate will play against Bowling Green start, and then I do believe the other two guys will play because, quite frankly, Bowling Green is so bad. But I hear you, Bron. Those are some good observations, and I mean, I get you, man. As far as the dual threat as well, as far as the running quarterback, I don't think that he's a run guy. I think he's going to sit back there and try to throw. Now, Tennessee can run the option with him, a lot of RPOs. They can run speed or spread option, read option, especially with Hendon Hooker as well. Those are tags, and those are certain packages and personnel plays that you can run with those two quarterbacks that you can't with Harrison Bailey, but that won't be the focal point of the offense. It'll just be a wrinkle, if that makes sense. So, Brian, appreciate you chiming in, man. Thanks so much for tuning in to a Twitter Tuesday. We'll move on now to Andrew McGinnis. He's at Andrew McNiner on Twitter, and here is his question. Do you think the new offense can translate into the SEC, and how will the new offense impact our ability to play defense? Great question, man. So, as you can see, football is changing, especially at the high school and college levels, okay? The NFL, yeah, you can spread it out every now and then, but primarily you're still running a pro formation under center. You got not as many fullbacks anymore, but tight ends are very much involved, running backs are involved, and you can do a little everything. Sometimes at the college level, man, you're not going under center all game. And I personally hate that, especially when you're on the goal line, especially when it's fourth and inches. I hate that. I have a feeling Heupel's offense will be like that. I've not seen one time a quarterback take a snap under center, but, you know, who knows? We're not there all the time, so we'll have to see. But you're seeing up-tempo, not this fast, what Heupel wants to go, but you're seeing pace. You're seeing a lot of no huddles. That's kind of the name of the game nowadays. You're seeing spread it out, you know, trying to air it out and then open up those vertical run lanes. So as far as can the offense adapt in the SEC? Absolutely, I believe so. Look at Ole Miss. Look at what Alabama did a little bit with Lane Kiffin as well, okay? So I do believe it can certainly adapt and be successful in the SEC. Now, Heupel's offense is all about tempo. It's all about pace, 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 and tempo, okay? It's going to go faster than any team in the SEC. It will go faster than Ole Miss, all right? It is going to be comparable to what Oregon was back with Chip Kelly. Now, you got to find a quarterback that can do it, and you got to be clicking. You got to be clicking. There will be some games where Tennessee looks like straight garbage. I'm going to be honest with you, simply because you're just not clicking offensively and you're not running it with that pace. Look at the scrimmage number one. We weren't there, but from everything we've talked to and some of the comments said by Josh Heupel and some other players and coaches, the offense struggled because of too many pre-snap penalties. If you have pre-snap penalties, that kills your pace, puts you behind the sticks, one and 15, you know, first and 15s instead of first and 10s, and you can never get in the tempo you want to get into. So if Tennessee's offense is like that, you're never getting an established tempo going in the offense. I never believe that the offense will hit its stride until it kind of works its way out of that. Also, on the other hand, if you're just simply not gaining any yards, I mean, you go out there and get a three and out, and you take 45 seconds off the game clock, that is doing no favors to your defense. So as a defensive guy, and I've said this a couple times, as a defensive guy, I don't like high-octane, up-tempo offenses because if my offense at Carson Newman wasn't like that, but it went no huddle, on the ball, on the ball, on the ball all the time. And sometimes, very rarely, Carson Newman's, you know, baller with the split-back veer, but I swear to God, I'll stop talking about my college days. I feel like Uncle Rico. I get it, but I think someone actually pointed that out on Twitter a long time ago. That's funny. But defensive guy, you know, that sucks when you're over there, you know, huffing and puffing and trying to get your breath. And then, oh, punt team goes out there. It's like, man, you know, 45 seconds to a minute later in real time. So it's a little bit give and take. It can help, certainly, but also it can take it away a little bit, and that's just kind of the pros and cons of an offense like this. So, Andrew, hope I answered your question to the best of my abilities. Great job. Appreciate you tuning in to Locked On Balls. Got a couple more here that we're going to hit pretty quick. We'll head on to Brian Odell. Brian, he is at Odell45Vols on Twitter, I believe. Yeah, that's right. Twitter Tuesday, way too early question, but which coaches do you expect on the field versus in the box when the game rolls around? Yeah, I meant to ask that. I saw this question in my inbox earlier this week, and I meant to ask about that, and I apologize, but I would assume Josh Heupel will be on the sideline. Okay, he was on the sideline. Obviously, he's the head coach. He'll be on the sideline. If Heupel's on the sideline, Golish will be in the box, in my opinion, because you need another set of eyes up there. If Golish is in the box, Joey Halsey will be on the field so he can communicate face-to-face with his quarterbacks, all right? That means, you know, potentially Jerry Mack. If I were Josh Heupel, I would want Jerry Mack in the box because he's coached everything, a former head coach. He sees everything, and that's kind of what he talked about when he met with us on Monday about how he sees the game from a different view. So I don't know for sure about any of this. I will try to get clarification on this, but if I were making the calls, if I was Josh Heupel, I would have Golish in the box. I would have Jerry Mack in the box. I'd have Halsey on the field. I'd have Ellerby on the field. And I would have Burns on the field. Defensively, I would have Banks on the field. Really, Banks or Martinez. Banks could go in the box, to be honest. You have Banks in the box, Martinez on the field, Jean-Marie on the field, Eckler on the field, Garner in the box. That's how I'd do it. That's how I would do it. So we'll have to see exactly what happens, but that's kind of to the best of my knowledge how I think it could play out. But again, we will see, and I'll try to get clarification on that. Good question, by the way, from Brian. Last one, Scott Johnson. He is at Scott232222 on Twitter. Hope I didn't mess that up. His question is, what's your projecting starting D-line in a four-man front? All right, good question. Now they're all going to play. We all know this, yada, yada, yada. Improved unit, yada, yada, yada. In a four-man front, I'm going to include Tyler Barron in that as an outside linebacker. So if he's in there, you got Barron, Matthew Butler will play. I bet you Omari Thomas is going to be in there. And then my last one would probably be Latrell Bumpus. But again, you got Deshaun Terry, Caleb Tremblay, Elijah Simmons. I mean, you've got Jaquan Blakely. You've got a ton of guys who are going to rotate in there and play and try to keep everybody fresh. But I would go Tyler Barron, Matthew Butler, Omari Thomas, Latrell Bumpus. And again, if you take Tyler Barron off the line and go even more, then maybe add in there a Jaquan Blakely of some sorts or Aubrey Solomon's going to be in there as well, and he's dropped some weight looking good. So those are some of the guys who I think would be up first, but again, everybody's going to play. Guys, thank you so much. That was a great, great round of Twitter Tuesday. Again, doesn't have to be just Monday nights or Sundays. You can DM me, tweet me in questions all throughout the week. I'll bookmark them, I'll like them, and I'll bring them to the show on a Tuesday of every single week. The goal is to get all three segments full of questions. That way we can just do nothing but answer questions back and forth every Tuesday. Guys, I appreciate it. We will have the voice of the Tennessee Volunteers, Bob Kessling, stopping by in segment number three. But before we get there, let me remind you guys about Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, it is here, all right? You can track all the long balls, all the home runs, all the double play balls, all the strikeouts, and some no-hitters. We've had a couple of those here at Bet Online. Not only baseball, but you can follow NBA news in the offseason, NHL news in the offseason. Get ready for your next MMA fight. Place your future bets on all those sports as well. You can do it at betonline.ag. Before the next pitch, I want you to head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or your mobile device. You can check out all the great sporting news, sign up for the bonuses, even some contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Put your sports knowledge to use. That way you can put some coin in your pocket while, hey, maybe your favorite team in baseball is gearing up for a playoff run. I don't know. Head on over to the website, use that mobile device, sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus. All you have to do is put the promo code Locked On. Promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline. It is your online sportsbook experts and home field apparel, guys. If you have not jumped in on the Volunteer Vintage Apparel at Home Field Apparel, you are missing out, okay? I've been talking about it for weeks now. All you have to do is go to homefieldapparel.com, put in that promo code LockedOnVols, and you're going to get 15% off your first purchase again from Home Field Apparel. The Tennessee collection has over 15 pieces of apparel looking like t-shirts, hoodies, crew necks, all vintage marks you won't see anywhere else. I follow Home Field Apparel on Twitter. They've been a great Twitter follow, but they keep hyping up all these different schools they're doing their unveilments for, all right? Put them to shame. I know the passion of this fan base, the support this fan base gives, and guys, you guys would love this apparel. I've told you about the t-shirts they've sent me, the old school Smokey, the Vol Navy, and the Pride of the Southland marching band. I mean, I love those t-shirts. I haven't been able to wear them because my girlfriend won't let me wear them. She loves them even more, and you can be in the same way. So Tennessee, it launched on July the 19th, okay? And there's been so many different schools that have come before that and after that, but Tennessee's really made a mark on this new Saturday launch, okay? Big new Saturday launch every single weekend, and we want to keep that up. So go to homefieldapparel.com right now. Use that promo code LockedOnVols and get 50% off your first purchase. All right. Homefield Apparel, it's vintage history of your school that finds unique logos, mascots, and moments that make thoughtful designs just for you. Find all your Tennessee vintage apparel that's at homefieldapparel.com. Want to welcome onto the show, voice of the Tennessee Volunteers, entering year number 23. His name is Bob Kessling. Bob, thanks for joining us, and man, it's almost that time.
It really is. You know, you get to the point in preseason camp that you just kind of get tired of talking about it, and you're ready to go play, and I think that's where everybody is right now. I think the players, too.
You made a comment to me earlier today about if this is practice 800-something for you, and I don't know how much you actually learned from being out there, but kind of what have you seen that's kind of stuck out so far during this camp under the Josh Heupel administration?
You know, I think one of the main things I've seen is it is a very positive camp. You know, this team the last couple of years was beaten down pretty good. And to see him come back and just to see the attitude on the practice field, and that's kind of the way Josh Heupel runs the whole program, you get a vibe off them that, you know, they're enjoying practice, they enjoy being out there, they enjoy seeing progress being done. That's the biggest take I've had from the practices I've been able to watch.
That's something I made note of last week. I said something like, I don't know how many games this, you know, will mean they'll win, but, you know, comments from Tyon Evans, comments from Caleb Tremblay saying, hey, if I'm not the guy, I'm rooting for the next guy. It seems like this team, and a lot of that had to do with not being able to spend time with one another last year, it seems like they enjoy being around each other, enjoy being coached.
They seem to. Of course, they're undefeated. You know how that goes. You played enough football, you know. Everything's great when as long as you're undefeated, and when, you know, you start getting hit in the mouth and things don't go the way you want, then that's really, I think, the mark of a really good team. When you get some adversity, you know, how do you bounce back? Then do you have your buddies back? And then if you're not playing as much as you think you should, do you have your buddies back? Do you still work hard in practice? Those are the things that you want to see from this team, because I don't think anybody believes that they're going to go through this thing unscathed. There's going to be some hard times. But I think that it seems to me that the talent on this team is maybe better than other people around the country are giving it credit for, because you've got some veterans in the offensive line. You obviously have some talent at wide receiver. It's inexperienced. You've got some talent at running back. It's inexperienced. You don't know who the quarterback's going to be. I think all of us have a pretty good idea who it's going to be, but they haven't said yet. So there's some elements on this team that you really like, but how does it come together?
You mentioned the quarterbacks, and as you point out, I mean, that's what everybody wants to know. Even when there's no update, what's the update on the quarterbacks? What have you seen from a Joe Milton, from a Hendon Hooker, that they brought in kind of with their unique skill set being involved in this offense? And even Harrison Bailey, for that matter. I mean, he's improved in a lot of areas from what I've seen back in the spring.
Well, the one thing that hits you with Joe Milton when you see him on the practice field, good grief, look how big he is. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's – and then he takes off running. And he's just a great-looking athlete. And now you have to worry, why did he leave Michigan? What were the problems he had at Michigan? Will they have those same problems here? He's trying to put that all behind him. But what was the setback? Could he not read defenses? Did he not take care of the ball? And if that's the case, has he corrected those things here? Hooker is more of – he seems to be more of a guy that wants to get on the edge, wants to run the option a little bit more, and obviously didn't have the strongest arm as Milton does. But they're two guys that I think that really give you kind of a different look a little bit. Milton is just such an impressive looking physical athlete, and he's got a gun front arm there. You tell us, you know, today you can throw it 70 yards. I like to see that, but He has that presence about him on the field. I mean, when they start practicing, number seven kind of jumps off the page, and I think that is when you go back and look down through the years, the great players, when you see them for the first time on the practice field, they jump off the page at you, and I think that's what Milton does.
Now, Bob, you've been around the game long enough to where we probably could call you coach, but we understand you're not a coach.
No.
But do you see, and this is something that Alex Gullish and Josh Heupel even mentioned back media day when camp first started, that ideally you want to have one quarterback, but maybe if another guy proves that he deserves to play, maybe there will be packages for another said quarterback. Do you see maybe that happening this year at some point? Maybe not Bowling Green, but at some point this year.
Yeah, probably. But, Eric, you've been on enough teams. If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks.
Yep.
And that's, you've got to have that leader. And you've got to have that guy who's a quarterback and that you trust him. And, you know, when it gets to be fourth down against Alabama, he's a guy that's going to get you in the end zone. And if you're going flip-flopping back and forth, I just don't think that works. But I do believe that you could have a specific set of – if you want to run the option, for example, with Hooker,
yeah.
All right, put in a package for him. But I think for the most part, I think they're going to settle on one quarterback and they're going to ride him as long as he continues. In this offense, it's taking care of the football and converting third downs. And if you do that, you're going to play.
Voice of the Vols, Bob Kessling, joining the show. And, Bob, that defensive line, the defense overall, but that line in particular, trying to look for more than what we saw of it in 2020. Rodney Gardner comes in. We know his pedigree. We know his resume. From little things you've seen in camp so far, what do you make of that unit that's veteran-led and got some newcomers added to the mix?
Well, I think that's it. I think they've got some talent. You know, the guys they had last year couldn't get to the quarterback,
yeah.
And we got some of those guys back. So they're hoping some of the new additions will give them a better pass rush. You know, anymore in college football, if you can't disrupt the quarterback, they're going to put 40 on you. Yeah. So you better be able to disrupt the quarterback. And can this front four, or I'll throw the front seven in there, can this front seven be good enough to disrupt the quarterback? I think that's one of the big question marks on this team.
A lot of guys were excited about seeing this year and seeing the progression, and maybe they probably should be better from game one to game eight, game nine. Tyler Barron, mm-hmm. Byron Young is a name that no one can stop talking about. Roman Harrison had a good scrimmage. Speaking of those pass rushers, what do you like about that group?
Well, I think they've got some athletes, and you know, Banks out there, he's a good athlete. So Barron looks really good to me, and Young has been, he looks explosive, and. I think they've got some talent on the defensive front seven, but it's unproven, and it's to the point now, okay, we know what you've done in the past. We've seen you on film. Now you've got to step it up, and you've got to be able to get out there and make something happen defensively. I think they really like the secondary. They've got some experience back there. They've, you know, Alante Taylor obviously leading the way there. So they have some guys that have played back there, but that front seven has got to come together. And I think the last practice, the scrimmage they're going to have, and the last couple of big practices where they actually start setting the lineup to figure out who's going to play in what situations, I think it's really important, because I think the offense is going to put points on the board. It's can they stop somebody, and that's going to be the big key.
All right, last thing I got for you. For the first time, maybe not the first time, but for a consistently for the first time, the guy, you know, sitting to your left in the booth, I know Brent Hubb separates you, but Tim Parise, he's retiring onto another phase in life, and in steps in a guy you're very familiar with, and Pat Ryan. The transition and your excitement for really just, you know, working with Pat now.
Well, you know, I've known Pat for a long time. We were in school together here at Tennessee, and I've known him for a long time, and I've worked with him. Of course, we've done the Big Orange Hotline for a lot of years, and he used to do some of the back in the day when we did the TV replays. He would do the color on those, the analyst role, and so he would travel with us. So I've been around Pat a long time, and he's a good friend. I'm really comfortable with him, but I'm more comfortable with the fact he's got a terrific football mind. I mean, you don't spend 13 years in the NFL and not soak something up and be able to analyze film and be able to break down a defense. And I think that from an analyst position, I think quarterbacks and safeties are usually the best because they see the whole field. And, you know, and it's no knock on linebackers or defensive tackles or offensive guards, but those guys pretty much just live in their own little world, whereas quarterbacks have to see the whole field. And I thought that was one of Tim's biggest strengths was the fact he was a former quarterback, but he played safety here. He saw the whole field, and Pat sees the whole field. So I'm really looking forward to it. Pat, they're different. You know, Tim was a guy that we had to put him on a seatbelt sometimes to keep him from jumping out of the booth. He'd get a little rambunctious. And, you know, Pat's a little more laid back and analytical. Now, he'll get excited, but he's a little more analytical and looking at things. So I'm looking forward to it. I think the fans will really enjoy what Pat's going to add to the broadcast, because he just knows the game, and he knows if you're playing well, he knows why you're playing well, and if you're not playing well, he knows that too, and he'll be able to tell you that. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going to miss Tim getting a little excited during a critical time.
I think everybody will.
Yes. Tim, as he, especially the last couple of years, We did put a muzzle on him. We thought about it in a certain situation there, but that's what made him so great. That's what Tennessee fans loved about him, just because he wore his emotions on his sleeve. And I've always said that you can listen, even with Bert Bertelkamp on basketball, you can listen to our broadcast for about 3 or 4 minutes, and you'll know if Tennessee's winning or losing just from the inflections in Bert and Tim's voice. So I'll miss that about Tim, but I'm really looking forward to see how Pat does.
Again, that was voice of the Tennessee Volunteers, Bob Kessling. Appreciate him for taking the time, and a great conversation with him over at Tennessee yesterday. He is excited for the season, and I know you guys are as well. Guys, I apologize. It was a little lengthy show today. I had already had that interview scheduled to be in this episode, and I got bombarded by Twitter Tuesday questions. But hey, keep sending them. We'll keep answering them each and every week on a Tuesday. Thank you guys so much. Apologies for the lengthy podcast today. But that's going to do it today. But before we say goodbye, Locked On Bets, guys. Betting on the SEC doesn't have to be a guessing game anymore. Listen to that new Locked On Bets podcast. It's hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. You can get your daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag. It's wherever you get your podcast. Woo! Fun show, guys. Appreciate you being a part of it. We'll do it again on Wednesday. Hey, Josh Ward will stop by and give us his thoughts on Tennessee camp coming up tomorrow. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody.